In the world of rock climbing, Tommy Caldwell is a legend. On January 14th, 2015, he, along with his partner, Kevin Jorgensen, summited what is widely regarded as the hardest climb in history, Yosemite's nearly vertical 3,000-foot Dawn Wall. After an arduous 19-day ascent, Caldwell and Jorgensen were the first to summit it without the assistance of ropes other than to catch their falls. Caldwell's odds-defying feat was the culmination of an entire lifetime of pushing himself to the limits as an athlete. He has written about this in his new memoir, The Push, where he shares his story, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Tommy, thank you very much for being with us on the air. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
Very nice to have you on the program. So the obvious question for people who don't do what you do is, why do you want to do such a thing?
I think it's really a question of curiosity. I think as climbers, we're really fascinated with this idea of how far can we, you know, kind of push ourselves mentally and physically, and the mountains are a great venue for that.
So is it the fact that it is quote-unquote impossible or it's never been done before, something that you look at and say, all right, I want to prove that idea wrong?
Yeah, you know, that's definitely appealing to me. I don't know if proving, I don't know if I like the word proving so much in that word. It's more like, I feel like if you have the chance to explore something that nobody has in the past, you have to seize that. And so going and doing first ascents and, you know, kind of pioneering these new styles of climbing is probably one of my favorite things in this world.
Okay, so maybe proving isn't the word, but if people said it can never be done and then you do it, you can say, oh, look, I've done this thing that has never been done before.
Yeah. I think the idea of doing something that, of changing people's idea of what is possible, that's what I love. Like, climbing is a great way to do that, because you look up at these big walls or these big mountains and they look so impossible. But then when you break them down to their elemental parts, you start to wrap your head around it, and, you know, therefore you kind of make the seemingly impossible possible.
You come by all of this honestly, as you write in the book. You started climbing really when you were 3 years old. How did that come to be, and why was it such a part of your early life?
So my dad was a mountain guide, and he had this idea that you could use the mountains as this incredible teaching tool, like to build confidence and strength. And so that's how he raised me. He took me into the mountains. We went, he loves to tell this story of when I was 3 years old, of taking me a couple miles from a trailhead during a raging blizzard, digging a snow cave and actually sleeping in the snow cave overnight and like changing my diapers in the snow cave. You know, like he's a bit of a nutty guy in a lot of ways, but a visionary in so many other ways.
You know, and so with that said, your parents were like, oh, okay, well, if you want to just go climbing instead of going to college or doing, that's fine, because that seems to be your passion.
Yeah, which is kind of an extraordinary thing, because my dad was actually a middle school teacher. But he saw, you know, he really believed in this idea of following your passion and doing something that's going to kind of light your fire. And, you know, most parents encourage their kids, or a lot of parents encourage their kids, to do the safe thing. Professional rock climbing was not that at all. So I credit my dad for helping me find this life that has been pretty incredible.
One of the things that is interesting, I think, just out of this whole story is that while you certainly never intended to make this your career, it becomes your profession. And that's rare, of saying, okay, what are you going to do? What am I going to be in my life? Oh, I'm going to be a rock climber.
Yeah, I never even really said that, because professional rock climbing wasn't really a profession. Like, I couldn't see it coming. I just climbed. And at some point, companies started to come to me and be like, will you help us represent our products? And it just like suddenly turned into this profession. I was one of those guys that took, like, you know, quote, a year between high school and college to explore the world. And now it's been like 25 of those.
Yeah, right. So do you always then look for the next thing? You look for what you can do next?
I do, yeah. I'm very goal-oriented person. So I like to identify these things and then format my life in a way to try and make them come to be.
Let us talk about actually going up the Dawn Wall. When did that come on your radar as something that you wanted to do, and the this really being a crowning achievement in your climbing career, doing this without the assistance of ropes? How did you set the rules for yourself and decided that this was something that was important for you to do?
So what I did was I did something called free climbing up there, which is just what you do in the climbing gym. You have the ropes to catch you in case you fall, but you're actually climbing the rope surface. So the rules were somewhat defined by that, although the idea of doing it over this very long period of time on this very big scale hadn't really happened. So in some ways, we were inventing the rules ourselves as we went along. We decided to kind of come up with our own ethical standards. Like, for instance, we had ropes going up and down the wall all the way to the ground from where we were climbing, and you could just descend these ropes to the ground whenever you wanted, and then you could, jumar back down, clip these mechanical devices onto the ropes and get back up to your camp. But we knew if we allowed ourselves to do that, the experience wouldn't be as rich. We wanted to have it to be really dramatic. So we ethically chose that once we left the ground, we were not going to allow ourselves to return to the ground until we failed or finished. And so that was one of the rules. I mean, climbing is very much a game of rules, just like basketball or anything else.
You trained and planned this for 7 years, and you read about this in the book, and I thought this was really profound and interesting, that obviously when you get up there, you're elated, you can't believe it, but there was also this hint of sadness because you had completed what you'd been working on for so long.
Yeah, these goals are, for me, nothing more than focal points. You have to have them to direct you, but the real beauty of it is the life that the pursuit of that goal provides for you, like the day-to-day going out there and challenging yourself and being immersed in this incredibly beautiful environment and sort of the brotherhood that comes along with being up there with a climbing partner and all the things that you learn. That's what it's about for me. So when you finish something like the Dawn Wall, it's the end of that relationship. And so I feel the most full when I am, living that life of pursuit.
So I'm talking to you about this, let me not bury the lead. You also tell the story in the book about being held hostage by militants in Kyrgyzstan. You lost a finger in that accident. You lost a finger later, right? There was another accident that happened.
Yeah, like a year later.
Yeah. All of that happening obviously has to have some mental component in what you do and what you do next.
Yeah, I think part of, my dad bringing me out in the mountains and kind of like exposing me to all this adversity as a child, like running from thunderstorms, it just kind of built into me this idea that that those hard experiences can help you to grow. So going to Kyrgyzstan and getting kidnapped is the kind of thing that could have broken me. It was an incredibly intense experience at the age of 21. We almost died. Like, I guess you have to read the book to really get into the depths of it, but it is, a life-changing experience. And to be able to figure out a way to come out of that, to grow from something like that, is really empowering. And I think that's, ultimately what led me to the Dawn Wall. It's funny, when I started writing this book, it was right after I climbed the Dawn Wall, and you would think I would have written about that climb, but I didn't. I wrote about Kyrgyzstan because I knew I needed to understand more about that.
I'm interested because you write a lot about working on this for the 7 years and going up with your partner, your climbing partner, Kevin Jorgensen. Talk a little bit about that dynamic of the relationship that you have to have with someone who's going to take on this with you, and the incredible trust and training that you have to be ready to do that together.
Climbing is this incredible journey of brotherhood in a lot of ways. You go on these expeditions, you do scary things together. There's no better way to bond with somebody than actually doing something scary with them. And at the end of the day, those relationships are more important than the climbs themselves. And on the Dawn Wall, Kevin was, failing at one point for a week, and it was the middle of winter. The whole climb was in jeopardy. If a storm were to come in, we would have been done. And I had to make this decision, would I just wait for Kevin? And for me, it was a pretty easy decision, actually, because at the end of the day, that relationship is way more important than than the climb, even though it was the 7-year process to get there. It would have been pretty sad to top out without him.
What kind of climb do you do for fun? Like, if you just want to go out on a weekend, what kind of climb do you do? Or are you always preparing for something?
No, I mean, in some ways I am preparing, but I just returned from a 2-month European vacation with my family. We mostly spent time in northern Spain and then a place called Fontainebleau outside of Paris doing a less intense type of climbing called bouldering. Mostly we were bouldering, which are these rocks that are like, you know, usually less than 15 feet tall. You don't even need ropes. You just put this padding on the ground below you and you climb up. And it's fun. It's way more playful and you can do it in groups. Like, you know, we would roll our little 1-year-old daughter to the climbing area in a stroller and she would sleep in the stroller while we climbed. And then when we woke up, she would like climb with us. And yeah, it's a really fun family activity and you get to hang out in the forest together. And, you know, nothing brings more joy to my heart than sharing this world, with the people I love.
That idea of fun, I find interesting too. So when you're going up the Dawn Wall, I mean, are you allowed to enjoy it? Do you have that moment of enjoyment and fun while you're doing it? Because obviously you have to have incredible attention and to detail.
Oh, it's hugely enjoyable. I mean, one thing that a lot of people don't understand about the Dawn Wall, the people that followed it on the news, is that we had to wait until it was shady or dark to climb in the best, you know, the optimal conditions. And those conditions really only lasted like 5 hours a day. So the rest of the time, we're just hanging out on our portal edge. Like, you know, imagine the view from up there. You're thousands of feet up this wall and you're in the middle of Yosemite Valley and you're hanging out with your friends. And, you know, we hauled up tons of great food and it was kind of like a party, honestly. for all those hours that we weren't climbing, and then for those 5 hours each day, it would get really intense. But then you get to return to enjoying the environment. And I'm a kind of half joke that the climb was just an excuse to you know, kind of party in this really amazing place.
So look at how describe party to me.
So the climb was me and Kevin, but we also were making a documentary
right,
film up
right.
there. So we had
right.
two other filmmakers, and all living on our little portal edges, like these hanging cots. And so you have a couple of these side by side, and you got a hanging stove, and you know, it really has this intimate feel. It's almost like hanging out around a campfire. And you're in this extreme environment, this very beautiful, intense environment. So it just bonds you, and it's so incredible. Like, I actually would bring, during the 7-year process, I would bring friends on the wall who weren't climbers. I would teach them how to use the mechanical ascenders and move around on the ropes just so they could experience that. And, you know, for all of them, it was this hugely positive, like, life moment that they will remember forever, just getting to spend a few days in this environment. And I feel lucky that I get to spend my life, essentially, in that environment.
The name of the book is The Push, A Climber's Journey of Endurance, Risk, and Going Beyond Limits. It's published by Viking. Tommy Caldwell, very fun to talk to you. Thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, great to talk to you too. Thank you.
Again, the name of the book is The Push. Tommy Caldwell, you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.